and honorable to God that we start the Thanksgiving season off with His word to us, the 100th Psalm. And if you would do as you do on Sundays, I'll read the odd-numbered verse, if you would join in the even-numbered verse, and we'll start in verse 1, and I'll end again in verse 5. You read the even-numbered verses, if you would. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And I'll end in verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Father, we praise You tonight. We thank You that this holy day tomorrow set aside what just might be, for our nation anyway, the chiefest among holy days, the very Thanksgiving service, the Thanksgiving celebration, all to You. And Father, we thank You that over these hundreds of years, Lord, You have kept a remnant of Your people to give You thanks. And Lord, we're part of that remnant tonight. And so, Father, as we meditate, contemplate, think about being thankful, Lord, that we'd remember that it's a discipline. It is a way of thinking that we need to nurture afresh in our hearts. And we thank You, Lord God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. And as we look at this evening and think about this holy day, it truly is a Christian holy day. Thanksgiving is unique, and it's something that the world looks on. I don't know if you realize that or not, but outside of North America, the world looks on at our celebration as something unique. They don't understand. I've had people even make comments that I know in various communications on the social media that it's amazing. Someone had made a comment, it's just amazing to me that America has always paused to recognize God in their founding. And that is absolutely true. It is a holiday that I'm surprised has not yet been completely, attacked and marginalized. But it's something that rings true to the human spirit and the fact that we're thankful to God. And we choose to do that. And it's right that we do choose to do that. I want to start out tonight by saying to you, reading to you, that Cindy Cummings, she asked her 3-year-old son, Hudson, what was he thankful for? And he said, my puppy. And Cindy laughed when he said that because he doesn't have a puppy. And I thought that was cute because in his mind, he's got a puppy. And he's thankful for that puppy. Maybe he's hoping that a puppy will show up later on at Christmas. But he's thankful for the puppy. Maybe that's the puppy that runs around in his imagination. But she laughed at that. It was Jennifer Harris who asked her little Mia. She asked her what she was thankful for. And Mia said, I'm thankful for bubble wrap. Because whenever there's bubble wrap, it means that there's something in a box. And I thought that was funny, you know, growing up in this day and age. If you open up the box and bubble wrap is there, then it must mean something's inside the box. That's an interesting way of looking at something. And then Michael Houston asked his 7-year-old daughter, Brooklyn, what was it that she was thankful for? And Brooklyn answered, and she said, listen, I'm thankful for all the people who wear uniforms, because those are the people that keep us safe and keep us free. I absolutely love her response. Well, listen, Brooklyn, I'm thankful too for people in uniform as well. But tonight, listen, church, we pause because we don't often think or study the fact that when you open up your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's a theme woven throughout Scripture, and it's quite profound and yet rarely recognized. And that theme is thankfulness. It's being thankful. It's being thankful. It's being thankful to God. And thankfulness changes everything about our mindset when we are thankful. But from Genesis to Revelation, as I said, we are to be a thankful people. And God makes mention, listen, of his great exploits. It is God who gets us through our troubles and our difficulties, our situations in life, and we're to be thankful. The Bible makes it very clear that we're to be thankful to God because he delivers us, the Bible says, from all of our fears. Think about that. When we run to God, the strength that's there. And for all of us, no matter how young or how old we might be, it is a thought process that we need to resurrect at this Thanksgiving season. And there's nothing worse. I think I say this every Thanksgiving because it is so true for me personally. There's nothing worse than to have somebody in your life who's not thankful. You can't do a thing about it. You can do everything you can to bless your kids. If they don't appreciate that, doesn't it break your heart? But what are you going to do about it? You can't do a thing about it. Being thankful is something that comes up out of a person and it's expressed. You can't make someone say they're thankful. I mean, we all do that. Say thank you. Well, I'm thankful. You just can't do that. You can't put a gun to somebody's head or some rule to somebody's head and say, be thankful. It is a choice you make. And all that is dependent upon how we view things. Are we really thankful? And listen, mom, dad, we need to raise our children to be thankful. Again, you can't make them to be thankful, but you can show them why. Isn't that what God has done to us tonight? Why should we be thankful? And this is where we as Americans, and boy, I should have written this stuff down. I said to myself earlier this week, I won't forget that because it was so profound. And yet, listen, just as we need to do with our kids, we need as adults to remember this, that there are so many reasons why we should be thankful and we should express it. Did you know, and I can't give you the numbers because I can't remember it exactly, but I can tell you the fact of this. The statement is true that number one, as Americans, did you know that Americans own more Bibles than any other culture in the history of mankind? More Bibles. Americans have more Bibles. Yeah, we applaud that, but that's kind of scary because we better read them if we have so many Bibles. But Americans own more Bibles than any culture in all of history. Did you know that Americans throughout human history, As a culture, as a civilization, there are more Americans in American history that have been the richest, wealthiest people in all of human history. Think about that for a moment. Because you see, I'm laying this out before you because you and I are tempted to focus on what we don't have. Well, I don't have that. I don't have the other. Oh, you're the 1%. We're the 99%. You know what? That's 99% of whiners. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But listen, here's the deal. The fact of the matter is the poorest person in America is rich compared to most standards in the world. America is blessed. And God has no obligation to bless us, yet he still does. Isn't that amazing? America will continue to feed the world. America holds the world's record on feeding more people than any other nation on the face of the earth. Isn't that amazing? More Americans own a television than any other nation, any other population on earth. I don't know if that's good or bad. We own more cell phones than any other people in any other nation on earth. Americans have enjoyed more freedoms than any other people group in the history of mankind. Americans enjoy the greatest amount of defense, military defense, police department, first responders, than any other culture in the history of man. We have so much to be thankful for. There's a good chance that each of us tonight, except myself, I just realized, would have some form of cash in your pocket. I guess I have plastic in my pocket. But you and I have the ability to buy something tonight. We don't have to pray about it. If we're hungry, we can just go right through some drive-through place and put a number in or something and be fed. We are a blessed people. We've got so much to be thankful for. Yes, America's got its problems. So many of Americans are incarcerated. So many of Americans have come now from broken homes. America needs God like never before. America needs to return back to the God that has blessed her so abundantly. But while America is, and while you are still in America, we celebrate tomorrow something that is absolutely unique, absolutely amazing. I was reminded, Lisa and I both were reminded recently when we were on a vacation and we pulled into the early morning hours into New York. We were on a cruise ship and it was dark and it was about 5:30 in the morning and we pulled in from the Atlantic. And the first thing that you could see from miles away as we went straight in, heading west into New York, was the Statue of Liberty. And I was reminded, do you remember where that came from? From France. France gave that to us because they were so blown away, so blessed, so impressed with America's quest for freedom and America's desire to be a harbor and a safe haven for those in the world who needed a home, America. And she stands there even this night, glowing in the dark. And America still today is the hope of nations for those who would seek a better life. It's still happening. It's still happening today. I love this church. I'm so thankful. And I got to tell you, I love this church. Not because of its history, not because of what it's been able to do, but the fact of the matter is its history and what it's been able to do is because of each and every one of you who make this church a church. It's absolutely awesome. And I'm blessed by that. And I tell you, I had a fun time today. I went to go pick up the laundry today at the cleaners. And it was a nice day. Thank God it's still summer in the middle of November, right? It's amazing. And so it was a good day to take my little Volkswagen for a drive, to go down to the cleaner. So I pulled up there and I parked and I got the clothes and I put them in the car. And this sweet man was walking by and he said, that's a nice car you have there. And I said, well, thank you. I've had it since I was 19 years old. And I've enjoyed every day of it. It's great on gas. And he said, he put his head inside and he took a smell of that Volkswagen. You know, if you own a Volkswagen, you know what I'm talking about. For whatever reason, they never lose that smell of plastic seats and gasoline. It'd be with you forever. Took a big sniff. His name was Leroy. Took a big smell. And he said, I love that smell. I said, yeah, me too. And so we were talking. And I said, you know, you have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. God bless you. And he said, well, God bless you. Are you a brother? And I said, I am a brother. And he stuck his hand in there and we're shaking hands. And him and I were having a great moment of fellowship together. And then oblivious to me, another car pulled up. And then I felt a tap on the shoulder and I looked over. And this man was standing there and he said, hi, Pastor Jack. I'm Michael. Remember me? And I said, I sure do. And so it was fun because Leroy was at one side of the car and Michael was on the other side and I'm sitting in the car and both of their hands, I said, Leroy, meet Michael. And their hands went in the middle and I'm right there. And all of a sudden out in front of the cleaners, there was a trinity of believers right there, three brothers in Christ. And we wished each other a great Thanksgiving, praised the Lord, and we went on our way. And I thought for a moment, God, I thank you for America. I thank you for simple things like that. That we can do that. And just the other day, Richard and Wendy, they were at Stater Brothers or Albertsons. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you're probably here right now. And we were there in the aisle in the evening. And Richard said, can you pray for Wendy? And I said, yeah, let's do that. And it was awesome because we're praying and people are shopping and moving around us and kind of didn't know what to do. And we're just praying. And then at the end, in Jesus' name, amen. And then Richard said, Pastor Jack, I want to pray for you, to pray for your sleep so you get some sleep. And he's praying. And right there in Albertsons, or I don't know what store it was. It doesn't matter because whatever store it was, it turned into a church service. And I thought, because, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. And I'm thinking, you're more thankful when you're mindful of what's going on. And I just thought, Lord, thank you. This country's messed up, but it's the best messed up place on earth. You know what I'm saying? Pretty amazing. I have noticed, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm watching more closely, but I have noticed people who love Jesus across this nation are getting just a little bit more vocal about it, and it is awesome. It is actually great. And I am just perpetually grateful for what's taking place, and I'm going to be sharing more of it. Lisa and I are going to be going to Washington, D.C., Lord willing. We're not sure exactly when, sometime next year, but we're going to make our way back there and go to the White House and talk to some friends that are there. But I got to tell you, there is, and this is a matter of record now. Nobody wants this to get out, but it's a matter of record. There are more Bible studies and prayer meetings taking place in the White House and in the Senate and Congress than any other time in American history. And that's a documented fact. It's absolutely amazing what's taking place. So I want to leave these thoughts with you. And I have this question for you to just contemplate in your mind. Just today, think about today, 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 just today. Can you think of one thing that you're really glad and grateful for that just happened today in your life? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I don't know what kind of day you had. Maybe it was a very high-pressure day. Maybe it was a difficult day. If you worked today, the commute home was horrible. What was your day like today? What happened during the course of your day today that you could stop? Because you may be thinking, man, if this is the holidays starting off, this is a war start. This has been a whole terrible day. Wait a minute. What are you thankful for today? Just today. Think. Because if you stop and think and you now begin to realize, I need to condition my heart to be thankful in everything. Because as believers, even in the hardship of today, God was at work in it. Something was being said by God. God was saying something. He was speaking something to you about the power of Jesus to save or to redeem or to make right or to fix. Or maybe you talked with somebody today and their life's really messed up. And their messed up life was revealed to you, and God was saying to you, listen, don't freak about it. Don't panic about it. Pray for them. What was God showing you today that you're thankful for? I pray every one of us tonight have an answer. You may have to think about it for a bit. I hope not, but you may have to, but you better have an answer. Because again, there's nothing worse than being ungrateful. You're here tonight. You should be grateful. We have friends whose family members, remarkable. In a few days, one expected to die, not the other expected to die. And their parents, their mother, one from sickness died, and then unexpectedly, the other spouse's mother died. This happens in life. Doesn't mean God has abandoned you. God's at work. We can be thankful for the years that we knew them. We can be thankful that they knew Jesus Christ. You might say tonight, no, you know what? This is it. Everything's crashing down. Everything's imploding. My life's coming to an end. You got to grab your thinking and you got to stop thinking and you need to go to Psalm 100 and you need to be thankful again because God is on His throne. That, listen, nothing's falling apart in heaven. I was talking to Alex just before service. As beautiful as the night this is, and as beautiful as the day, crystal clear. You look what you could have done today. You could have ditched work today, and you could have gone to the beach today, or you could have gone to the mountains today. Gorgeous day. But you look around this place, and as he and I were talking, we were talking about just the crime and the things that are taking place in the inner city and all of the problems in our prison system and all, and how that system needs Jesus. And you think about that for a moment. That in the midst of a wonderful day and a tremendous time, there's those that are in great peril, trying to find the meaning of life and have gotten themselves into all kinds of situations all because they don't know Christ or they've forgotten Christ and they perhaps walked away from Jesus. And I'm thankful for the fact that if that's you tonight, maybe you're here right now or you're watching, you can go right back to Christ in a moment. You can turn right back to Jesus and He's always there. Have you noticed that? It takes you sometimes a while to walk away from Jesus. It's a progressive thing, but it's slow. You know what I'm saying? you just don't wake up some morning and say, I'm just going to backslide away from God and mess up my life. No, that's just, it starts ever so slowly. And then you wake up and you're in a trap and you're in a cesspool or you're in a quicksand of sin and you're drowning. Even as a believer, you get away from God and you're drowning in this mess that you've made. And have you noticed in your mind, and I'm sure the enemy whispers to you and I and says things like, God will never have you back. You're such a loser. God loved you one time and you loved God, but you expect him to accept you back? There's no way. It's funny how Satan works, right? Satan will tell you, go ahead and do it. God's forgiving. He's kind. Oh, you can do it? Go ahead and do it. God will forgive you. Why is this so quiet in here? You've never heard Satan tell that to you? I'm telling for all of us right now. I'm thinking on all of us. Satan will whisper in our ears, oh, it's okay. Now, I know there's kids in here, so it's okay. Steal that cookie. God will forgive you. Oh, it's okay. Your mom will never miss that dollar sitting on the dresser. It's okay. She'll forgive you. And the moment, what happens? The moment you eat the cookie or the moment you snag the dollar, what happens? Condemnation instantly. You say, oh, that was wrong. I shouldn't have eaten that cookie. Those are for tomorrow. And I'm not confessing anything right now. I'm just saying. And the moment you realize, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that. Then what does the enemy say? The very same one that enticed you to go for it. And you listen to him. That same voice says, well, God will never forgive you for that. Now, I want you to know tonight, God will forgive you for that. And I'm thankful that God accepts us back all the time. All the time. You might say, well, Pastor, I didn't commit any sins today. Well, let me tell you, you may not have committed any bank robbery or you didn't have a lustful thought. But listen, there's always the sins of you and I not doing what we should have done. The sins of omission, not commission. You say, I didn't do anything today. I sat in a box. I zipped myself up in a sleeping bag. I didn't get out of the bag all day. I hid myself in a box. I didn't sin. These hands did nothing all day. That's exactly right. These hands did nothing all day. You and I, listen, you and I can sit there and do nothing and be sinning up a storm because we're not doing what God would have us to do. Thank God for the blood of Christ. I'm so thankful that, listen, as beautiful as it is in Southern California, hallelujah, heaven is our home. Not this place. We're not going to stay here forever. We're going to heaven, and that is good news. So the question is to you, what happened today that you can say, God, thank you for that. I'm choosing to be thankful for that situation today. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 25, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So tomorrow you're going to go be with family. How many of you have unbelievers in your family? Raise your hand. You have unbelievers? Yeah? You going to eat with them tomorrow? Sure you are. I want to encourage you, and I'm not kidding. I want to encourage you. Your family get-togethers have never needed Jesus more than tomorrow. Big Mouth Uncle Bill might be there, or Loud Mouth Louise, or Grumpy, you know, somebody or the other. And don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them get under your skin. It may not even be your house you're going to be at, but you might just say, hey, you know what? I got a crazy idea. Let's pray for this bird or for this ham before we eat it. Let's give God thanks. And if they throw you out, hey, that's fine. Crazy Uncle Bob threw you out of the house. You'd be happy for that, you know, but they won't do that. Just say, I want to thank God for this food. In fact, don't even ask them to pray. Just say it like that. I want to thank God for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat. And have a great time. But listen, all these family members of ours, they need Jesus. And they know now, more now than they did a year ago at this time, that they need Jesus. The world is crazy, but God is good. So I have a second question for you this evening. This past year, can you think of one thing that you're really glad that you experienced or what happened this past year? What happened? In your mind, think about it. Oh, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this is what happened last year. Not only today, but this last year. God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for so much This has been, physically, this has been the worst year of my life. And yet, I'm so thankful for your prayers and being sustained by the Spirit of God. I mean, I felt Him sustaining me. I'm thankful for that. I could go on all night being thankful for stuff. And you can back up and just say, God, wow. I'm thankful for the impact that you've made in this world this year. I'm thankful for my family. On and on it goes. Thankful. And then also this. This is kind of a strange thing to put before you. Hear me out. The Bible makes it very clear. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you all hear that verse I just gave you a moment ago? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, is that true? That's in the Bible. Is that true? It's 100% truth. The Holy Spirit authored that. It's the will of God that you and I be thankful. And in it all, that we give God the thanks in everything. How can that possibly be? How can that be true when life's coming apart, perhaps, for you? Maybe it's been sickness. Maybe it's been financial. And God would say to you tonight, in everything, give thanks. Listen, all I can tell you is regarding this third question that I have tonight. The only way that works is if you and I tonight ask God to give us a new mind regarding thankfulness, that from this moment on, that we choose to be thankful in everything. It doesn't mean you thank God that your house burned down. It means that if your house burns down, you can thank God that you still have your life and that God's going to use it and He's got a plan to make something come out of it. None of these things of this world set God back. So here's my third and final question to us tonight. This year to come, this coming new year that's before us, can you be thankful in advance for those things that are going to come into your life? Now, I didn't read that in a book. Praying about being thankful, that thought came into my mind. And I have to believe that that's from God. If it's God's will that I be thankful to Him for everything, that is God's eternal word. Church, is it not? His eternal word? Will that verse next year be as true as it is today? Absolutely. God's word doesn't change. So if I'm supposed to be thankful in everything and give Him thanks, then I can already, and you can do it tonight, you can commit tomorrow and all of the entire year ahead of us into God's hands and determine right now, based upon the sovereignty of God, I'm going to be thankful in the things that come into my life, no matter what they may be. It may be disease, it may be disaster, but God is on His throne and He's working something profound out, and I'm not going to know the answer until I enter eternity. Can we let God be God, and can you and I decide to follow Him? That's the issue. We need to now choose to be thankful, because you can look around and see all the things that are wrong. That's what's wrong with America today, is that America is refusing to look at all the good. Now listen, many of you, if not all of you, were praying. You were praying when we asked you to pray. We had to be kind of cryptic, but I completely put 1 Thessalonians 5:18 into practice when I heard this. You guys were all praying not too long ago when we were contacted. Out of all the churches in America, 380,000 churches in America, this church was contacted by the White House regarding, now I can tell you. Do you remember the Guatemalan girl that came into Texas illegally? She came into the United States illegally. And she had been convinced by those around her. Now, you're going to email me the story from the Huffington Post. Save your time. I'm not going to read it. Well, let me tell you what the LA Times said. I don't care what the LA Times says. We knew what was going on behind the scenes. So spare me. She came across the border. She was talked into wanting an abortion. That's why you read in the papers. She was the 17-year-old Guatemalan in Texas. And Texas law forbids abortion. She couldn't get an abortion. She was talked in, by the way, to get an abortion, that she would never make it to America. She would never make it in America, having a child as a way. Long story short, the federal government stepped in and a federal judge stepped in. And the judge initially ordered the abortion to take place. President Trump's legal team filed a lawsuit and stopped the judge's order. The battle you saw made international news. And I can tell you right now, inside the Oval Office, Trump said, listen, if the woman wants to stay in America or not, it's her choice. But I'm not going to be complicit, or I'm not going to be a participant in murder. And he said, this baby's got to live. If she keeps the baby or not is irrelevant, but the baby's got to live. Did you know that? You didn't see that in the news, did you? And so the word went out. The judge said, okay, listen, if you can find a home for the baby, it's got to go this way. Because she's a minor, the home has got to receive the mom, pregnant mom, and then the baby can be brought to full term. And so that phone call came to us. I remember, I got a phone call from Tony Perkins, and he said, are you going to be near your phone? I said, yeah. He said, I got a call from the White House. They asked me to find a church in America. And he said, I prayed, and 3 seconds into my prayer, he said, you guys at Chino Hills came to my mind. He said, you need to be near your phone. If you get a 202 area code phone number calling, answer it. I said, all right. And that phone call came. And within 3 hours, you guys didn't know any of this. Within 3 hours, this church got on the phone and were calling you. And in 3 hours, we had 5 families ready to take that young woman and adopt her instantly into her home and bring that child to full term. And you guys did everything that not only God required of you, but amazingly, the government asked of you. And tragically, she was talked into having that abortion, and that baby was aborted. And as we completely understand the Bible, that baby went right into the presence of the Lord. But through the entire process of it all, the gospel was given and preached lovingly to that Guatemalan girl. And I want you to know that, because listen, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a church that is radical to obey God. I'm thankful to all and every one of you. It's absolutely amazing. So grateful. Tomorrow be bold. Tomorrow be thankful and let people know that. And I'm going to ask you guys to listen. I was surprised. I take so much for granted, and I need to be careful about that. But before I read this, I want to leave you guys with this announcement intentionally right now. I want to thank all of you for generously blessing those tomorrow that are in need for Thanksgiving. You were asked, you were called upon to provide turkeys and fixings that our young adult ministry might deliver. You know, you guys, for decades, our junior high and high school ministries have been doing something called Ding Dong Ditch. Did you know that? For decades, they've been secretly, I'm pausing because it's so cute. The high schoolers and junior highers would dress up in black. Most of them dressed up in black, get all covert. They have an address. And they were given a deployment pack. That means they had an address and the deployment pack of cranberries and biscuits and turkey and dressing, and everything was custom made for that address. If it was 10 kids or 10 people or 3 people, it was custom made. That's all they knew. They knew they had their bag. They had drivers. They had a van or a truck, and they had their address, and they were that was their mission. I remember years ago when we first started this, we were in the warehouse building. Anybody remember the warehouse building across down the highway, wherever that is? Now I forgot. But some of our kids, the truck parked or the van parked in the neighborhood, turned off the lights. The kids got out all dressed in black. They were going down the street in the neighborhood. And they were going around a house and leaving stuff at a porch and running. And the cops showed up and thought there were burglars in the neighborhood. But I want to thank you that tomorrow, because of all of your generosity, 64 families will have Thanksgiving tomorrow that otherwise wouldn't have that. So we started off with that cute little kids video, the children's reenactment of the pilgrims coming to America. But I want to remind you, as I was questioned this week by someone, I was in a store and the conversation came up, and this young college student behind the counter mentioned something about American history. American history. Going to college here in Southern California, studying American history. And I said, you know, this coming Thursday's Thanksgiving. Oh, yes, Thanksgiving. And I said, you know, you read the Mayflower Compact, right? I'm not kidding. God is my witness. I said, you read the Mayflower Compact, right? You're American. You study American history? He said, I'm sorry, I've not heard of that. I said, I thought you were studying American history. Yeah, I am studying American history. I thought you were in college. I am in college. I've never heard of the Mayflower Compact. What is that? I said, it's the first government document of the United States of America. It's the first founding document of the United States. The document gave birth to our colonies. The document gave birth to the Constitution. It's this one little two-paragraph document that gave birth to the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. It's known as one of the greatest statements ever made in human history. He said, I've not heard of it. And I said, you have a smartphone? He goes, yeah, I do right now. I go, open that thing up. You know what's great about being old? You can talk to people like that. Right? It's awesome. And I said, you need to read that. And this is what he read. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King, defender of the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, an honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact and constitute and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances and acts, constitutions and offices, from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have underwritten, subscribed our names at Cape Cod on the 11th of November, in the year of the sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and Scotland, the 54th, in the year 1620. Then and only then did William Bradford say, now we can disembark. They didn't even step foot on the continent until they had agreed to the Mayflower Compact, and that they had come, and I quote, to advance the Christian faith. This is America, a nation founded upon God's word. America, a nation founded so free that the Christians were okay to grant the equal rights to not only themselves, but to atheists. Because all men, they believed, were created equal. Even if those men didn't believe in God. That is an awesome witness. And that is a snippet of your awesome America. May God use us to be lights to this nation, like a city set on a hill. that it might shine again to a world that needs so much hope. And you and I have the opportunity because we have the freedoms and we have the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we glorify you for all the freedoms that we have, freedoms that nations would seek to destroy, freedoms that nations would seek to mimic. We are the envy of the world, not because of our wealth, not because of our prosperity, not because of our power. Little do they know, perhaps, we are the envy of the world because it is you, God, who made us great. I think, Lord, of Alexis de Tocqueville, who, when he went back to France to give a report on the success of America, when he said that America's great success was not found in her industrious harbors, the success for America was not found in her halls of commerce or in her Declaration of Independence. Alexis de Tocqueville said, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And that same man said it wasn't until he entered the pulpits, the churches of America, that he saw why America was good. Heavenly Father, may the church arise and have a bold and beautiful presence. May America, Lord, be revived around the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.